Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Oh,
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again, this time on the near side, for another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Brother Greg Dredd with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
T, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos? DVDs? CDs? Masterpiece? Charlie's Angels?
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least 3. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P! Look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real ball of successful folks are sellers. and all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
All right. Today, our podcast live stream, we have back with us in studio today, Ashton Smith, who sparked and actually gave an excellent interview yesterday, and we brought her back for today. Today's podcast is titled The Monetized Amateur Athlete. 619-768-2945 is the call-in number. And the question of the day, whether you're involved in sports or not, but the question of the day is, how many millionaires or billionaires are you wearing? That's the question of the day. Now, what I want you to do is we're going to play that last audio that I just played from the movie Baby Boy. We're going to play that back here in a moment. But what I want you to do is take out a sheet of paper or scrap of paper or do it on your computer or phone or whatever you feel comfortable doing. And I want you to write two questions. The first question is, how many millionaires are you wearing? That's question one. And then under that, you know, put it 1 through 5. And then, so, you know, because you can, I want you to write down each millionaire that you're wearing. And then the second question is, how many billionaires are you wearing? And then, you know, also put 1 through 5. Okay. So, and I'll demonstrate how that goes in a few minutes. Hopefully we'll get a sports attorney on in here. I'm trying to track them down now as well, because I did ask yesterday. But in any event, let's go back to the clip from the movie Baby Boy on commerce. And once again, the questions of the day, whether you're involved in sports or not, how many millionaires are you wearing right now? And how many billionaires are you wearing right now?
Brother Greg Dredd with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities. And today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVD, CD, Master P, Charles Angel.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least 3. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money, right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm gonna get my own business.
change the game.
All right. I got another question I want you guys, once again, get a piece of paper. Three questions. Question number one, how many millionaires are you wearing? That's question number one. Write that out, and then under that, you know, number, put one through five on there. Okay. You might not have five, but number one through five. How many millionaires are you wearing? Second question is, how many billionaires are you wearing? Okay. And the third question is, are you a buyer or seller? Are you a buyer or seller? All right. And this is coming from the movie Baby Boy. I think, and today's title of today's podcast is The Monetized Amateur Athlete. All right, so the three questions of the day is, how, and you don't have to be involved in sports. This applies to everybody. Question number one is, how many millionaires are you wearing? Question number two is, how many billionaires are you wearing? And question number three, are you a buyer or seller?
Brother Greg Dredd with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities. And today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVD, CD, Masterpiece, Charlie's Angels.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money, right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm gonna get my own business. Change the game.
Okay, once again, today's podcast is titled The Monetized Amateur Athlete, 619-768-2945. And this is a participatory podcast today. The three questions, you don't have to be involved in sports because this applies to everybody. The three questions of the day are, now here's how I go. Number one, are you a buyer or seller? Now, some of us might be both. I fall into both categories. I'm a buyer as well as a seller. Okay. But some people are just buyers. So question number one, are you a buyer or seller? Because most people are just buyers. All right. Question number two, how many millionaires are you wearing? Once again, write that question out and then number it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what have you. Now, I'll start with myself as an example. Now, I'm going with surface millionaires. On the surface, based on what I'm wearing right now, is, well, I got a pair of reading glasses from the dollar store. Got them on. I have a polo shirt that is custom made with one of my brands on it, Jake Rector Energy. But the company that made it, they're millionaires. I've got a, in the dollar store people, they're millions. We're just going with on first generation millions, millions or billions, okay. The sweatpants that I have on, that's a billionaire, on a first level. And then the shoes, I got a pair of socks on too. Pair of socks, billionaire. Pair of shoes, billionaire. So with the shoes, the socks, and the sweatpants, that's $3 billion. That's just on the surface. Let's call that surface one. Surface one of cash flow. The polo shirt, that's millionaire. The glasses, I had to check whether the company, I know they're millions, but I had to see if they're into the billions. That's first level. So there's, I'm wearing right now over three, what represents over 3 billion, 1 million dollars. That's what I have on now. All right. And it's just a polo shirt, a pair of sweatpants, some socks, and some shoes, and glasses. That's what I have on. But that represents that on the surface. Now, this is very, once again, we're going to tie this into our title today, the Monetized Amateur Athlete. But these questions apply to anybody in any walk of life. All right. And we're going to tie that into the Monetized Amateur Athlete here in a moment. All right. So that's what I want you to do. All right. Once again, let me review how this is done. Okay. Question number one of the day. We got three questions. Question one of the day, based on, you know, what I played the audio clip from the movie Baby Boy, are you a buyer or seller? I'm both. Even the sellers probably, they have to buy, okay? But some people are just straight up buyers. So answer question number one, are you a buyer or seller? I'm both, but I want to have most of my activities fall into the seller category. So I'm selling or producing more than, matter of fact, we got a distinction on this because I'm thinking about Pleasant Stephens right now. We got another question here. Are you a producer? No, that's wrong. What do you make? Okay, that's the third question. All right, I'm making some sense of this. All right. Questions of the day. I've added another one on. Question number one, are you a buyer or seller? Question number two, what do you make? What do you make and or manufacture? Question three, how many millionaires are you wearing? Question four, how many billionaires are you wearing? All right, and I'm using myself as an example. We're going to play this clip. Again, this is a short one. It's only 2 minutes from Baby Boy. And comeback, because we're going to go through the levels of this. Because what I've already talked about, what I wear, now what I've given you is the surface money. That's what people see on site. But then we're going to get to the second generation of money of what we're wearing. That everybody I'm talking to, you know, unless you're sitting there naked, which some people could be, I can't see. But I'm just saying. So level one of millionaires and billionaires that I'm wearing, I've got dollar store glasses. We know that the Dollar General, I got these from Dollar General. Dollar General, they make millions, if not billions. Okay, I got to check. Number two, I have a polo shirt coming from a company that, you know, does private labels. I have a private label on my shirt, my polo shirt. I have a company called Jake Rector Energy, named after two black oil tycoons out of Oklahoma, but that's another podcast in itself. But they make millions, so I've got a millionaire on my head right now with the reading glasses. I have a polo shirt made by a millionaire company. I have a pair of sweatpants, okay, sold by a billionaire. Sold, now, very important word. They sold them. They didn't make them. And a pair of socks sold by a billionaire and a pair of shoes sold by a billionaire. Now, that's just level one of the money. Now, the other question that I asked is, and I just added this on, what do you make? Okay. And I didn't make anything that I have on right now. The glasses were made in China. The shoes were made in China. The socks were made in China. The sweatpants were made in China. I don't know where the private label for the polo shirt I had on was done in the United States. But I don't know where the material came from to make this polo shirt. It could have been done in this country. And for the sake of this discussion, we're going to say it was made in this country. All right. So when you're writing this stuff down, you know, how on a piece of paper, okay, because that's the second level. We're going to play this clip again, and then we're going to get into the third level of millions of billions of what are you wearing. And this goes into the monetized amateur, even professional athlete. So we'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll go through the second level of millions and billions of what you are literally wearing right now.
Brother Greg Dredd with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos? DVD? CD? Masterpiece? Charlie's Angels?
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P! Look around, man. See what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pods and papers,
tech man over there. Everybody moving, making money, right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
Okay. So we went through the first level. Now, let me go of K. Actually, the second level of millionaires and billionaires of what we're wearing. Using myself as an example, I just looked it up. Now, the reading glasses that I bought from the dollar store for like a buck, that's why it's called the dollar store, all right, they made over $34 billion last year. So the reading glasses that I bought for a dollar at Dollar General, they're billionaires. So I got that on my head right now. All right. Now, this is level one money. This is level one. I'm going to go through level two. All right. But before I get to level two, the polo shirt, I'm going to take for granted all this was manufactured here in the United States. There are millions. I don't know how many, but they are. The pants, sweatpants, the socks and the shoes, billionaire companies. So I've got over I'm wearing billionaires except for the polo shirt, which is millions. All right, now that's level one surface money. All right, now, and they're selling something. Now, let's go to level two. And what's level two? Okay. Somebody, like, for instance, with the reading glasses that I bought for a dollar from Dollar General, the glasses were made in China. Okay. So they're making billions. But what their manufacturers, they make something. Whatever company this was in China or Vietnam or whatever, they make billions by making El Cheapo glasses. Okay. So add another billion. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. That's $4 billion that I'm walking around with. Hold on, but let's keep on going. All right. Now, the shirt, the polo shirt I have on, you know, cotton. You know, I don't know where the cotton, you know, where the cotton was grown, maybe here in the United States. But whoever sold the fabric and the dye, they're making at least millions. Because the person with the dye is making a bunch of money. The person who sold the fabric is making a bunch of money. The people who stitched this polo shirt together are making a bunch of money. Sweatpants, a billion dollar company sold me the sweatpants. But where were the sweatpants manufactured? Where were the socks manufactured? Where were the shoes manufactured? Now, let's look at the shoes for a moment. The shoes have a rubber sole. Who sold the rubber to the shoe company that manufactured the shoe or assembled the shoe? It also has canvas. Right? You know, who organized that together? So this can go a few layers deep. But all of us are walking advertisements for multimillionaires and billionaires. And as the guy said in Baby Boy, you're either going to be a buyer or actually there are three classes of people. Buyers, those are the consumers, sellers, and then you have manufacturers, people who make something. People who have that amass the most power and wealth around the world are essentially they make something. It can be cupcakes. It can be cotton. It can be a whole bunch of things. And now what does that have to do with the monetized amateur athlete? Well, some of the topics that we'll talk about today, and we're about to bring our guest on, Ashton Smith, is, and hopefully that lawyer will call in, we're going to talk about intellectual property. We're going to talk about sports cartels. We're going to talk about sports manufacturing, because I'm dressed like I go to the gym right now. So sports manufacturing, you know what? There's more money made in sports manufacturing than it is playing or participating in professional sports or amateur sports. You know, footwear, you know, making shoes, making equipment, you know, making barbells, making gyms, making basketball hoops, making backboards, making, scoreboards, making whistles. So, the officials typically have a uniform officiating games depending on the sport. They look different. They're not all the same. There are companies that's all they do is they manufacture referee equipment referee wear. So venue ownership. You take the person who owns the let me look it up real quick. The Los Angeles Forum. Or is it, let me go with the Staples Center. Staples Center out in L.A. Staples Center. All right. The Staples Center in L.A., Los Angeles, California, which is now, it's been renamed Crypto.com Arena. Let me see. Well, I'm trying to get their revenue. Well, let me read it off this way. They have a capacity, and we're talking about venues now. They have a capacity to hold 19,079 people for basketball. Now, think about it the way an owner would think about it. Okay, I own this venue. That means I can sell 19,000 people tickets. Then I can certain people that I can send. I can sell them. And depending on the event, box seats, courtside seats. Ice hockey, they can accommodate over 18,000. Arena football, they can accommodate over 16,000. Concerts, they can accommodate between 10,000 and 13,000. Boxing and wrestling events, they can accommodate 21,000. Concert theaters, they can accommodate 8,000. So whoever... Well, the Buss family that owns the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't know if they own the crypto thing. I don't see it here. But, all right, Anschutz Entertainment Group, they own the Crypto Arena, which used to be the Staples Center out in Los Angeles. So typically, I'll go back to the Buss family when they did own it. Or the L.A. Forum, one of the two. they're able to meet those high salaries to pay for a these basketball players like LeBron James, because they're not depending on basketball sales alone. You know, they own the venue, so no matter what team that, you know, let's say they own the Los Angeles Lakers or Dallas Mavericks or whatever team, no matter what sport. If you own the arena, it doesn't matter what team, even if you own a team, wins or loses. If you own the arena, you win because people are coming in and paying you money in the form of tickets and concessions and all this other stuff. So venue ownership, sports manufacturing, sports cartel, intellectual property, and the simplest thing really probably to grasp with all this is intellectual property, which is an idea. We all have intellectual property in the form of ideas. Just like that, the polo shirt that I have on right now, which was made by a $1 million company, I paid them to put a private label on this polo shirt. Now, I'm not selling these polo shirts. I bought a little stash for myself, and then occasionally I give away some stuff. I haven't given away a whole bunch. But if I did, I could do that. But intellectual property is everybody's got it, and everybody has it in spades. You have an abundance of it. And one good example would be Nike. Everybody's heard of Nike. Some of you might be wearing a Nike product right now. I know somebody that has a Nike product. And that started with one person with one idea on footwear. That was it. And he told his vision, went to a manufacturing company that makes shoes, and now he's a multi-billionaire. Michael Jordan, the retired basketball player who owns the Air Jordan brand, Air Jordan, the name itself is intellectual property. It was an idea. And Nike, actually, let's give some credit to Michael Jordan's first wife, because she's the one that actually made him a billionaire. But they took the idea of, they took the idea of him with his own brand. Make your own shoe, or let us make your own shoe. Contract us to make your own shoe. You'll have a private label called Air Jordan, and you can make more money from this than you can playing. And he did when he was playing, and now that he's retired, he's earning more money from people buying Air Jordans, his intellectual property, than he ever did playing. Now, to get a little bit, so Michael Jordan, he doesn't make anything. He's just making money off the intellectual property. Nike with Michael Jordan, but Nike itself, the footwear company, the sports apparel company, they don't make anything. They contract all those shoes, that everything that you see with Nike on it, from the footwear to the bathing suits to the polo shirts to the baseball hats to the visors, anything with N-I-K-E on it coming out of the state of Oregon is contracted out with people in Southeast Asia, companies that are in China, companies that are in Vietnam, Cambodia, maybe even Laos. I've got a tent here. I haven't even opened it. I got a tent here that was made in Bangladesh. So I'm putting all this out here to say this, that you've got to see, once again, let's call this chess, because although we're talking about the monetized amateur athlete, to really take advantage of the opportunities that are out here, and there's a bunch of them out here, you've got to look at this whether you're in the sports or you're, even if you're not in the sports, you have to look at it as a chess game. You know, the pieces on the board, three of the pieces are, you know what, buyers in a game of chess are pawns. The king are the manufacturers. The queen goes out and sells. Now, there are other pieces, but I'm just breaking this out. The pawns, if all you're doing, and I'm going to use myself as an example. If you didn't make your shoes, if you didn't manufacture your shoes, you're essentially, bigger example, Colin Kaepernick. Like him as a person. Love him as a person. But he doesn't make anything. When you don't make anything, if you're not a maker or manufacturer or a seller, you're a pawn. Why isn't he playing professional football right now? Because he's one of those pawns that the buyers and sellers took out of the game early. And let me put out another term, sports cartel. The NBA, National Basketball Association, the NFL, the National Football Association, all these major sports, including hockey and NBA, Major League Football, Major League Baseball, they're all sports cartels. They make up their own rules. And here's the thing. Anybody who's listening to me right now, you can start a sports cartel or any kind of cartel that you want. And you can control that market, and you can make your own rules. And when you have little or no government regulation like professional sports has, including the Special Olympics, which is another sports cartel, nobody can basically bully you around. You can bully people, but people can't bully you around. We're going to go to our guest who was on here yesterday. She's gracefully come back. We're going to talk about the monetized amateur athlete. And there's a bunch of opportunities out here that people can take advantage of, but they got to see it. But once again, you got to determine, are you going to be a buyer or a manufacturer or maker, a seller, or a buyer? Buyers are always pawns. Sometimes a pawn might make it over to the other side of the board, and then if you make it to the other side of the board, all right, then you can become a queen, a rook, or another piece on high-ranking piece on the board, but you'll never become king. Now you can, if you want to be a king, you can start off that way. But then you're going to have to line up your other pieces. But the kingpin of a commerce world in general, and this is all legal, all right, are the manufacturers. Toyota manufactures 30 cars per minute. Korean Airlines, when we talked about Korean Airlines just briefly about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about tables, Korean Airlines is a family-run business that takes in billions. Now, in this country, as one of our listeners, Brother Beasley, brought up, Now, we do have black with, like, T.D. Jakes. His family, they take in millions. T.D. Jakes, the late Fred Price, before he passed on, he set his family up. He's gone, but his family's still here. They're still taking in millions of dollars. All right, but we want to game this towards sports people anyway. So next I'm gonna play this baby boy thing one more time, and then we're gonna go to our guest, Ashton Smith.
Brother, break bread with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities. And today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVD, CD, Masterpiece, Charlie's Angels.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least 3. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling T-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money, right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke ass people playing catch up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm gonna be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
Now, I've added one more element on there than what they were talking about in Baby Boy, the movie. He was talking about buyers and sellers. But the third one I'm adding on, they're manufacturers or makers. They're people who make things. They're people that sell things. And they're people, all they do is buy things. Anybody on the board, anybody listening, you can call in 619-768-2945. Which one are you? And then also, you can participate in the questions of the day. How many millionaires are you wearing? How many billionaires are you wearing? You know, 619-768-2945. Let's go to our guest for the day, Ashton Smith. Good morning, Ashton.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing better than terrific.
Me
and
too.
Glad
it's
to
a
have
beautiful
back
day,
day
outside
two.
And the birds chirping.
Okay. So now, for the people that weren't here yesterday, tell us about yourself. I mean, who is Ashton Smith and what is your involvement with Special Olympics?
First off, though, I do have to give credit to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, the Elite 300 winning team members. Grateful for them bringing me here. Shout out to those folks. A little bit about me. I was an athlete in the Special Olympics since the 90s, and I continue to work hard in their program, knowing that I could be an example to people, because in the 90s and even early 2000s, there was really not any type of organizations for people with any kind of disabilities, especially visual, right? They just don't have that even today. It's hard. But about me and knowing that I'm a kind of person that I don't give up, I'm not a quitter, and I gave my all in that organization. I played 4 different sports for them, basketball, flag football, bocce, track and field, and swimming. And I even did powerlifting, so that's 5, I believe. So at the end of the day, in my life, I gave it my all. And people say God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And I've never, and that's one thing I would say, is that I have never, ever blamed God, you know, at all. But I have blamed Special Olympics, right, because that is a program that took time from me, right? Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, said once, you can't get time back, my friend. Time is short. The time that we have on this earth, we must use it to prosper to the abilities that God gives us, right? And so at the end of the day, if I am working hard and giving to an organization, it should give back to me. I've been in the Special Olympics since the 90s. I've won state gold medals, plenty of gold in that, and I've won gold medals while competing for their organization in Dubai and competing even as a child. You know, I competed locally and learned and grew. And, yes, the organization gave me a self-esteem. It helped me to grow as a person, right? And I'm okay with knowing that that's positive. But that does not mean or take away from the iniquities that have happened to me. Amen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's
so
tough.
Now, yeah, go deeper into that, though.
About how I grew up or why it's tough?
Let's see. Well, you know, as a review from yesterday, you were homeless at one time. So how did you get from homelessness into Special Olympics?
That's fair. You know, 100%. Like I said yesterday, for those who may not have been here, you know, I worked hard. I studied programs, federal programs, state programs, and just studied what the laws availed to me. If the laws in this country allowed me to get housing where I didn't have to live in a group home setting, and that's what Special Olympics tried to get me to do. They tried to get me to live in group homes and settings that's not for me, right? Because in those settings, you can't be yourself, right? I'm coming from homelessness, right? And so I wanted to prosper, right? And you can't do that in a group home because the people, let's just put it this way, you have people over you in these group homes. I don't want to be a 30-year-old person saying someone's an arbiter of my life, right? And so because I don't want that in my life, or to have someone state control me, right, or be a ward of the state. The ward of the state means that the state or government can enact or act like your parents in some ways, even making certain medical decisions when you're in settings like that. So that's why I tell people before you run to these places and all that kind of stuff, you need to read. And that's why I continued to be on the streets because I'm not trying to be in a system like that. I'm not trying to become institutionalized like that, you know. And so studying federal programs, studying programs such as Section 8, studying home ownership programs, studying programs like VITA Tax Services, which is backed and federally funded by the government. I've never used H&R Block to do my taxes, right? Studying things like setting up an LLC and things like that. But eventually switching that to a corporation, I hope to do that, right? But these are things you're not taught in the Special Olympics, right? You're taught to, you know, tell your story to make the program look good. Instead, I'm looking on the streets with no place to live. And, or in some cases, knowing that that's not okay, right? And when I came into the Special Olympics as an adult, these are things that they told me they would help me with. I never got a dime from their program, not in drawings, winnings, prizes, no type of money. And here I am, 37 years old, with no mother, right? And so you overcome that, right? Even when I was homeless on the streets, I dealt with things, right? You know, and got laughed at for obvious things that I knew for me would keep me safe. For example, I got laughed at on the streets because I slept in trees. But I remembered what the Bible said, right? And I didn't care what people thought out there on the streets. I said, the Bible says to build your place up high. Why is that? So I can see from the north, south, east, west, baby. So if I can see you in a tree, I want to see the tree of life, meaning I want to be able to see what's going on in my life. I want to be able to see what is going on in my life. And so at the end of the day, folks, you may have people who laugh at you for being homeless or whatever the case may be. It's how you have the gumption and know how to obliterate and rise from the ashes. And I think for me, my grandmother told me that, you know, discipline is the thing that will whip you into shape. So if I had great discipline while being homeless, because instead of listening to what people said, I stayed on high ground and slept in a tree, literally in my life, because I knew that doing the right things in this life to keep me safe. The first instinct of survival is what? Keep myself safe. And that's what I learned, not to look cute, none of these things in life helped me. What helped me while being homeless was thinking like a man. Sorry, I mean, it may, you know, some women may not like the comments, but that kept me safe on these streets out here in Dallas-Fort Worth, right? And so at the end of the day, you think it like a man. You learn how to physically fight like that, right? Because you're dealing with atrocities and you're dealing with people who may not be on the same kilter as you. They may not be on the same focus as you, right? And so your head was always on a swivel while being homeless and a woman. I told somebody, no, I'm sleeping up here because I can see what's going on for miles. If you stand in a tree, the average person, you should be able to see for miles, right? And then you step that game up one more notch with binoculars, now I can see what's coming at me. So I always knew in my life to keep myself safe. And because of those things and because I learned and I continue to learn the federal systems, I learned that these systems are in place if used correctly, right, that they can pull you out of the ashes and out of homelessness. And I thank God every day for the federal government, right? And people say, well, don't go vote because that really doesn't help you. Nah, they have helped me. The government, I vote because I see the money that the government has poured into my life. The government has spent some six figures to take care of me because the government said, if you do what we ask, we will give you the best of the best. And I said this yesterday, even federal housing has classes within it. I'm going to say that again. Even federal or government housing has classes within it. And how do you achieve the best of the best within government housing? Getting your credit together, right? Going to places that do not charge you to get your credit right. Catholic Charities has millions of dollars in classes to fix your credit, right? So now you can get the best of the best housing. Why? Because tax credit properties have the what? Right to check your credit. Even if you receive federal vouchers, housing, whatever they call it in different states, these government properties, these tax credit properties, they can actually run credit checks on people. And that's why I felt it was important for me in my life to study all that America has to offer for me, even outside of government programs. Because though studying what America has to offer for you, I have to live here. So I'm going to study what this country has to offer me so that I can prosper. Amen. And I know that I'll prosper because I am doing my due diligence, but I am also coupling that with the belief in God, right, the belief in the law, and thirdly, money. All those three things together and my family, right, so or however you want to flip that. At the end of the day, those four things helped me have a solid foundation, and those four things are the reason that I believe today that I am no longer sleeping on the streets, but I know I have a way to go, amen, and we're going to continue to work due diligence and continue to allow my life to prosper financially. And once I do that, God said, I'm going to give you a small amount of money, amen, and if you can manage this small amount of money, then someday I will give you a large amount of money. When that day is, I don't know. I just know at the end of the day, however it is, that someone says, I come into your life to deliver you from the food line or from picking up, you know, things in your life. And I have the food line of life, and I'm grateful every day that people reach across the aisle. I do not care if you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. If you're a teacher, right, and you have knowledge to throw out here in the atmosphere that can help people, throw it out here. Because people like me, I am eager to learn and be taught what it takes to be wealthy. Because wealthy in this country is the prize. Wealthy is the prize because you're not depending on government programs, or you're not depending on a program like the Special Olympics. Amen. So being able to rise up and overcome all of those things, not being angry, not being mad, but saying, can I go out here and change my life by getting with people like Pastor Don, Jr., CEO, and others in my life that continue to step up and help me, you know, and put their muscle behind me, because that is what I need. I need people that are willing to rise up and say, I believe in you because you have what? Overcome these things. Now we can help you overcome this step, right? I don't want a hand out in this life. I want a hand up. And if I have a hand up, then I can now be a contributor and pay taxes and whatever else rich people do, right? That is what I want to be in this country. Someone said on that tape or whatever was playing there, they want to be a buyer and all that. Well, if I can be a buyer, that may work for a minute, but I want to be a contributor. My grandmother was always a contributor, but also knowing that if I contributed, those two factors are fine to be a buyer or to have a business. But if I'm a buyer and only have a business, but I don't contribute, then I've lost the whole of society because I'm not contributing to better my society. Thirdly, that should have been included is, can I be a contributor in whatever way it's possible? And that's what helped me from being homeless, because people believed in me and contributed to my life, if that makes sense to you, sir.
Yeah. Now, let me backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
I'm trying to make sure I heard right. You slept in a tree?
I did sleep in a tree, yes.
Now, the reason why, because I got a fascination with tree houses.
Okay.
That's why I asked that question.
Oh, yes, no, I did. I made it work, man. I took boards up there, man, and, you know, kind of pushed them down so that they would have a, I would have a flat surface up there, and then I would tie a bell and tie that around so that I wouldn't fall out the tree. That bell would make that sound. I'd make sure I'm up in the tree, so, because you're sleeping up there, right? There's no rail
right
up there, right? Let's be honest. So you had to do what you had to do to make it, but as a woman, it's like, okay, you have all these dudes down here. This is, we're talking about Dallas, Fort Worth, right? They're down here, people
yeah
walking on down here, whatever. And so, I don't, you know, when you're on Lancaster out here in Fort Worth, you see dangerous stuff, right? On the news, a dude crashes a car into the gas station where people were on the other side sleeping, right? How do you not hear a car crash through a gas station? That is the stuff that people are so oblivious to that they sleep right through it, right? And so in life, I don't want to be a kind of person that sleeps my way through life. I want to hammer my way through life, but sleeping in a tree saved my life. You know, I didn't care about the people laughing at me, like I said, but knowing that in that tree I can do many things. I can defend myself in that tree, right? You know, I can outmaneuver you in a tree, you know. And so all of those things come in handy, and God blessed me with the things I asked for. I asked God to make me tall and physically strong like a man. God said, whoopow. I also asked God to send a man down here in my life to help me. God said, whoopow, right? And at the end of the day, if God can do that, now we're working with something, because I'm not alone. God said, I'm going to give you somebody. God said, a man and a woman shall be together. What other people choose to do in their lives, disclaimer, they can do that. But the Bible says that a man and a woman shall be together. And I ask God for that, because at the end of the day, I want help in this life, right? And if you have somebody in this life that can work for you, work with you, it makes your life easier, whether you have a team of people or whether it's you and another person. That's another reason I'm also not homeless, because I got along with men. And I know this may sound, you know, harsh to females, but in my life, and because of the stuff I went through, men, males, are the reason that I was no longer homeless, because they taught me, okay, how to make stuff out of fire. They taught me how to stay warm, you know, when it was cold, not jump in a car and go down the street to some dude's house. No, I want to know how to make it out here, right? And all those skills came in handy, because when we sit here with no power, things become really focused, right? And so at the end of the day in my life, I also want to have the power to survive, right? And I want the gumption and will to live. And being able to have that, being able to know that I withstood the tree of life and I slept in a tree to protect my life, God will give you the instruments and tools in life to be able to defend and protect yourself. And those tools may come in the form of sleeping in a tree. And at the end of the day,
we need to get together and put together a workshop on that. Because there are people that are making a bunch of money renting out tree houses on Airbnb as we speak.
Okay, but it works. I mean, people laugh at it, but it's not just a Southern thing. But
right,
people laugh, but it's a fact that when you're homeless, all these people are sleeping down here on this thing. You're a woman, but the grace of God, even when I had to go down there, I never had problems with men. Men didn't really mess with me. What I had problems with when I was homeless, I had problems a lot of times with women because they didn't know how to deal with me. I'm 6'3", could run, move, swim, right? Right? Swim. What you going to do? Like, I'm going to the water. You're going to have to chase me into this lake. Thank you, sister, but I'm not going to deal with all that, right? So at the end of the day, I'm a kind of person that will use any and everything. I ain't trying to deal with people in my life that, and I say it in that grammar because some people, you just try to work with them as best you can, but they're so far, and I noticed that when I was home. It's a lot of the mental issues and stuff that arise, and you see more of that on the streets more so than you do in, you know, the regular population. But who in the regular population is going to walk down there? You know what I mean? I was in a program called Count the Homeless, right? And that program opened my eyes to places that people were sleeping in tunnels, under cars, whatever, right? And you're counting these people, and you're having to go throughout Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's horrific. The things that people in the regular society don't see because, again, they're not walking down Skid Row in their community, or they're not going back there because it doesn't look so savory, right, or safe or whatever.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we can't shun people who live in places like that because not everybody can own a business for other reasons or mental reasons. Not everybody can live off of a grid for other reasons and other factors. There are reasons that people suffer, but all of the reasons can be solved if people wanted to do that. And that can be both Democrats and Republicans and whomever else runs stuff, sit down and forget all the political stuff and say, hey, man, how can we solve the problem of people who are homeless? If you can send $18 billion or something, I think I saw on television in total or something, to a war, can we get a little bit of that, please, amen? You know what I'm saying? And so in my life, I look at that stuff not from necessarily a political perspective, because I'm only 37 years old. I don't really care about political stuff. What I care about is how does this all help the whole of humanity who live here in the United States? That's what I care about. And because I went to a country called Dubai and I went to these places, I saw how they treated their people. I knew that America could be a little bit better of a place, if we learn to reach across the aisle and stop judging people for how they live and start solving the problems of why they live that way. And I think most people would agree with me if we start solving the problem of why does this person live in poverty? Why? And for me, my why at the time when I was in that program, I was excluded, right? From, you know, when I was in the Special Olympics, I was excluded from making money, right? And when you're excluded from making or possessing money, go to the Dallas Observer, Ashton Smith, Dallas Observer. You'll see it, right, where they were telling that program, they were telling the Dallas Observer, money's excluded. I'm not allowed to have or pretty much possess money. And I have to be able to make money in this life because I'm 37 years old. And I said to myself, what person or man wants to marry somebody that in America, we're talking about the price of inflation because I look at marriage with the price of inflation too. I want to be able to stand on my own 2 feet financially, and I was never able to do that in the Special Olympics. Never. I had hopes and dreams of owning real estate and things like that. You're never able to do these things in the Special Olympics because they say they're not there to teach you anything. You're there to play sports. Or you're there to run around all day. That's not life. I don't want to be the person running around in the circle of life and not being able to comprehend laws, rules, and regulations. Because what operates this country is money, rules, laws, regulations, and religion, right? And we know those are factors, right? And so at the end of the day, because we live in what I call a factor society, there are factors that we cannot control. But there are factors that we can. And my grandmother said one of those was get your butt up and go vote. You all sit here. You know, my grandmother was that kind of person, right, because my grandmother believed in voting, right, because if you don't vote, you cannot sit here and complain about stuff. If you don't like the potholes in your road, don't just go vote in the national election. Get your butt up and go vote in your local stuff, right? You don't like the club up the street over here that plays the loud music, guess what? Vote them out if you don't like it. And so through the process of all of those things and learning the system and political system, voting works. Marching works. My grandmother was a part of stuff like that, right? And she said at the end of the day, if you don't march or you don't vote, then you contribute to a problem. And the problem is our younger generation, including myself, a lot of us feel like we shouldn't have to vote at all because we're not understanding the history and why people fought for it. I hung around a lot of old people growing up and or elderly people, however you want to politically say that. But, yeah, you grow up around people older than you because the hope is that older people will tell the stories of yesteryears, right? That's what older people say, that I told the right story of yesterday. Amen?
Right. Ashton, let me ask you the questions that I asked people earlier at the beginning of the,
sure,
the podcast, as well as mm-hmm. people that are in the studio right now. You're welcome to chime in on this too. Tying into the title of today's podcast, the monetized amateur athlete, how many millionaires or billionaires are you wearing? Did you get a chance to count?
Yeah, I was wearing my pants. I had my shoes, so that's one. My pants, two.
Oh, are they millionaires or billionaires?
So I would say I had five on.
Five millionaires or five billionaires?
These were massive companies, so I would say billionaires because these are massive, you know, companies, Amazon, you know, different things like that that sponsored them.
Anything from Amazon, you're right, that's billions.
Yeah, they're sponsored by Amazon, Walmart, all that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Those are $2 billion companies right there. Now,
Nike.
What do you call it? Special Olympic. Like, what I found out yesterday, and I'll repeat it again today for the people that weren't here yesterday, the NBA has less than 600 people, players that is. NFL has around 1,600 players, something like that. Oh, it's over 1,000. Put it this way. Special Olympics has over 5 million people. So there are more athletes. There are more Special Olympic athletes dwarf the NFL, the NBA, the NBL, and the NHL combined. So it's the largest, to my knowledge, the largest, and I didn't know this until you started talking about it yesterday, it's the largest sports cartel on the planet. Yet, you guys you have amateur status, right? They don't allow you to earn money, right?
You're not allowed to earn money, and that's why I call it exploitation of the disabled, because they tell the public on the outside in writing, oh, we care for the athletes, we love them, and we care for them. I believe Jersey Mike's was a big sponsor of them. They had a whole commercial saying, help the athletes rise. All percentage of their donations on, I believe, the 31st of last month went to support the Special Olympics. They gained millions of dollars, and none of the athletes got anything. It's just, it's not okay. And that's why I tell people, get my book, Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream, right? Because that book tells my story, right? Folks can also cash out me, Golden Ashton, right? Again, folks can also reach out. Please reach out and know that Pastor Don Jr., CEO, he's in my life for a reason, and he's in my life to help tell my story across the earth. And at the end of the day, that is what I need, because this is what it calls for. God said, I did what? I put you together for such a time as this, paraphrasing. When I put you here on this earth, right, you are here for a reason, right? After my mom's death, I had that dream, and I knew that I cannot give up. I know that God put fire in me to tell the truth, right, to tell the truth in great detail. God gave me a voice that's rich, right? At the end of the day, then with my rich voice, I shall tell it on the mountain, right? This little light of mine, or this little voice of mine, paraphrasing, I shall let it shine, right, or echo. At the end of the day, I want my voice to echo, and I want people to know I'm a human being. But yet I was treated like property, sometimes made to sit in vans when it was hot outside, but I would get out the car because I told one person, no, I'm grown. I'm grown. I'm going to do what I need to do so that I don't have to do that. I'm not sitting right in any vehicle. I'm 30-something years old being talked to any kind of way, forced to show doctor's notes and things if I miss practices with their program. I said, y'all have in writing that it's voluntary, but why is it that I'm being expulsioned or kicked out the program or threatened with being kicked out if I don't come to a practice? This is not voluntary, folks. This is y'all, you guys, they forced us. I was forced to work and do labor, right, with no breaks. I've had surgery on my body to prove these things medically, right? And so at the end of the day, this is why I tell people, study the whole of America, because the law in this country, when you get an attorney, when you get somebody that understands the laws of exploitation, I don't care what it is, exploitation of children, that is wrong. Exploitation of people and their rights, that is wrong. And at the end of the day, Special Olympics, it is a juggernaut that believes that it cannot be sued or touched, because that's what they told me. You cannot sue us because no one will believe you. We're a charity. No one will sue a charity. I've called over 2,000 attorneys in the last 2 years, and not a one of them wanted to take my case. Not one, because they were all afraid of the Special Olympics, and several of them donated to me. And so at the end of the day, I run into something out here in Texas called a conflict of interest. And so, yes, I want an attorney that can operate in the land of Washington, D.C., because their corporate offices are there. And I want justice for my life. And that's not an angry justice. That's saying, hey, hello, I'm a human. I'm black. but I want to be treated.
Share with us from yesterday for the people that weren't here yesterday. Now, you won medals in swimming with the Special Olympics.
Right.
And it's an amateur, they treat the athletes as amateur. But swimming is not an inexpensive sport. Basketball,
no.
You can just throw a basketball out there and you're good.
Yeah.
But swimming's a different story altogether. So just give us some of the expenses that you have to pay for your when people look at you swimming and they see you in your swimming gear, how much does that stuff cost?
Swimsuit from Arena Swimwear, $500. And, shout out to Arena because Arena actually gave me two swimsuits. No questions asked because I let them know that the Special Olympics is not helping me pay for anything. And so a company, out of the graciousness of, the goodness of their heart and how gracious thou art, right, they gave me these swimsuits. And I'll never forget that because Special Olympics has never helped me financially. But before that, I was having to pay $500 for a swimsuit, having to pay $75 to $100 for my sweatsuit, $100 to $110 for my parka. That's the big jacket that keeps you warm, $45
right.
to $50 plus tax for my shoes or flip-flops I would wear. All of this came out of my pocket. And it's unacceptable that I'm having to pay this, and I was left bankrupt, right? That's unacceptable that I have to go and crawl to a judge and tell a judge, hey, because I didn't get reimbursed or Special Olympics didn't keep their promise of creating a trust for me. These folks talked about creating a trust for me at a Fuzzy's restaurant out here near my house that is now out of business. And they would always come on down to that restaurant and meet with me and talk to me about stuff. No, folks. At the end of the day, what's happening to me, it is not right. And most athletes in that program, they were told to stop talking to me. And so at the end of the day, that's not an angry way of saying it. It is saying they don't talk to me because their parents, a lot of them work in the program. None of my family work for the Special Olympics, right? So I'm not tied to the same conditions. I'm an athlete, so I'm going to speak out about what I suffer. I'm going to speak about those things called atrocities, but I also speak about constructive criticism, right? And knowing that these things are not okay and shall not continue to be hidden from public society like the IRS or the Charitable Trust of Texas or Charitable Trust in any state, such as Washington, D.C., if you're listening, you got a Charitable Trust, listen up. IRS, listen up, because the money has never went to help me. They would even feed me in the Special Olympics.
So wait a minute. So now when you have Special Olympics, how are their games set up? Is it set up like tournaments?
Yep, they're set up like tournaments, and you have to pay fees. Like you have like just to – you have to pay a fee to get in. Like that's – I had to pay $30 to swim. A registration fee and all that. I don't know what it's like now, but when I was in it, I had to pay all kinds of fees and transportation. Look where I live. I live in Texas.
Man.
I live here in Texas.
We got a caller for you. Hold on, Ashton. Hold this caller for
sure.
You. 407, your mic is open.
Good day, L.A. This is Beata with Blog Talk Radio, Soul Purpose Healing, and Health and Well-Being with Beata. Thank you so much, sister. I didn't get your name. I tuned in a little late. I didn't get your name.
Ashton Smith.
Ashton Smith, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, your journey so far. I'm just amazed at all that you have experienced and all the knowledge. So thank you, because you were born for such a time as this, where we need people to be transparent, to share what they've been through and how they've overcome. So thank you. And I was a swimmer. I was on the swim team when I was in high school. So So, and at the YMCA. So I was really relating to your expenses. Now, I was shocked that you had to pay that much for a swimsuit, because I don't even remember swimsuits costing that much. But these are different times. So, but you serve a mighty, mighty creator who is providing, it seems, everything for you. And I have a question for you. Because I did a show with LA on Sunday, and there was a question about the homeless, and there was a guy who sent a message saying, we must provide housing for the homeless because they're being trafficked, they're being kidnapped, blah, blah, blah. He was saying all the horrible things that are happening. And there was another woman who was saying, well, in Atlanta, she was seeing that, yes, a lot of homeless people are disappearing. They're not as populated in Atlanta as before. So question for you is, what do you know about, first of all, the general mental state of many homeless people, and whether you feel like they are disappearing from the city?
I think that some people disappear because, first of all, I'll use common sense. They get in vehicles, all right, they get in vehicles with these people that they don't know. That's the first thing that some of these homeless initiative programs had signs up when I was in some of them with cars X'd out, right, telling people don't get into vehicles and things that you don't recognize. And then you have city growth that has taken the people and pushed them out on the outer edge or outer rim of the city, right? And so these people are forced to be moved out. But, yes, there have been things going on in these massive cities where people have, been kidnapped against their will. But generally speaking, here in Dallas-Fort Worth, a lot of people are getting in vehicles and stuff with strangers, and they were telling people not to do that. But the mental state of people, Community Step Up is a program that deals with the mental, health of people, especially in the Black community. Miss Carol runs that program. And, she talks about the mental state of Black and brown people. And there was a study done on that, right? And what happens is that Black and brown people may not have the same access. And the problem is that we have to give them the best access that we can, regardless of income. And we, as a country, we do lack in that because some people, they say, okay, in the Black community, there is stigmatism. You can't force people to go either. But at least provide it for those who do want these services and really want access to these services. There's an organization that folks can look up called htbha.org. That's a mental health organization across the Dallas-Fort Worth area. H is in Huffy, T is in Tom, B is in Boy, H is in Huffy, A is in Apple. .org, right? And it is important that you shout out organizations that are actually making changes to the mental crisis that we have. And I know a lot about that by being a part of Community Step Up and knowing that we have to solve these mental problems with people, because if we don't, our society is going to be on shaky ground, and young folks my age are less tentative to go to these specialists and things. One of them, they can't afford it. And we have to remove the affordability factor if that is to occur for all people to be able to access services. And I'm fortunate because I studied the system, and there are programs such as ARSL, right? They also help people with visual issues and people who are disabled to get equipment and things for jobs. The Texas Workforce Commission has a robust program. They pump in millions of dollars to that program to help people get equipment, computers, and things for free to go to work, right? They're trying to get boots on the ground out here in Texas to give people opportunities for work. So if you're feeling like you can't access certain services, these programs also can get you on the right direction. Call 211 Texas if you do need help, or 211 in your area, and they'll give you a huge list of mental services that are available to you if you do need that help, and people do need it. And neither of us should be judged for going to go get help. That's the problem with our generation. A lot of times we judge people without trying to solve the problems or understand the circumstances in which people live. We also need to learn again to meet people where they're at. Amen. So hopefully that can help solve these problems by, you know, we can solve it by money. But people say, how? Well, you know, people don't want to be taxed to death either. So find a way. And the way to do that, I've always said, is, you know, legalize federally if you can, right? Because then you can use that money for whatever you want to use it for, and then be able to kick back, lower taxes on people as a whole, and be able to pump more money into mental services. I think we'll be on a better ground if we continue to do that. Amen.
Thank you. And I feel like you have really summed up the root cause of homelessness. But can you just kind of give what you think is maybe the major reason that most people end up without a roof over their head? Because they don't. The word is not homeless anymore. What is it? Houseless. There is a new phrase. But why do most people, in your mind, end up without a roof over their head?
I think it's because of the big factor is imprisonment. A lot of people who come out of prison, you know, they end up homeless too, right? Because some don't go back to prison, but they end up on the streets because of societal factors. They said, hey, I served my time, but I still have this dark cloud over me. And we have to remove the dark clouds over people who come out of these prison systems to get boots on the ground and get them into labor, construction. I mean, we're lacking. I said, if we're lacking, and I told someone, you know, who runs a business, I said, man, if you're lacking employees, see if you can create a program, my brother, and go to these prisons and get these people that want to work. Right, because he ran a construction place and they needed workers. And I said, at the end of the day, there's nothing stopping you from creating a program, right, because you already have everything here. And so at the end of the day, this is for everybody that has a business. I don't care if you sell bread, right? If you can help someone, and shout out to the Goodwill, right, Salvation Army and other places that have helped me, Community Food Bank, shout out to that lady who has helped me during the pandemic even. At the end of the day, it is absolutely imperative to know that homelessness is not from one factor to another. Imprisonment is one of the largest businesses in the United States. Most people that are in that, you know, are minority and all of those things, and they get $25 in most states when they leave prison. And I told someone, this is what someone told me, so I only got $25. That's all they gave this dude when he came to society. Mind you, he said, well, I've been in here for 50 years or something like that, and he came out and he said, society has changed, oh my. Oh my. You know that Sesame Street song that says one of these things ain't, it's not like the other? Everybody know that song, right? And so in life, when you come out of the system, one of these things, it shall not be like the other. And that's the problem that we deal with when we have that problem with imprisonment and those folks coming out because they can't acclimate fast enough to society. So that leads to homelessness, food insecurity,
wow,
and stuff
that,
like
that. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that you said prison was a major. I never thought about that as being in the top. Wow. Okay. So
we got
so many problems with the systems in these cities and in our country that need to be toppled and start over. Because you would think if somebody is let out that's been, if they even survive 50 years in a prison, and this is their first time out in society, there ought to be some kind of program to help them transition for at least 3 or 4 months to get ready, to get prepared where they can have a bed and meals and counseling, therapy, all that. That's crazy that we don't
have. Well, they put
them
in these halfway
city.
Houses. They put them in these halfway houses. And it is, because the halfway houses, some of them, you know, they're there, and it's like, but it's a halfway house. We need, you know, put counseling in there, put resources to get these people the things they need, because a lot of people say they come out of prison and they can't use the IDs, the things that they have, because it's so far out of date. So we need to create programs so that when people come out of prison, before leaving the prison, hey, let's make sure we get your ID. Let's make sure, you know, so when you go
isn't that what halfway houses are supposed to be doing?
A lot of them don't. A lot of them, it's just a cash cow. They don't really, I'll just be honest, they really don't help the people. The second thing that contributes to homelessness is financial literacy and things like that. You know, you have a lot of people with disabilities that can't budget their money. I mean, I've seen people be evicted, okay, because of this very thing, right? People don't think about that, but the population with us, it's really tough because the apartment complex is not going to remind you folks to pay your rent, right? Or they're not going to remind you, hey, this is due. And so a lot of that can contribute to homelessness. And thirdly, drugs, right? Drugs, you know, let's be honest, drugs all the way through the 90s and back, even before the crack epidemic and all that. But when the crack epidemic accelerated into modern medicine and stuff we have today, a lot of that, those companies and things are being sued and stuff, because a lot of that contributed to people losing their homes, drugs, addictive stuff, right? Let's just keep it 100. Things that are addictive can cause you to also lose your home because you're not in the right mind frame or balance because of the chemicals or whatever it is, right, that you have. It creates this imbalance. Go ahead.
It's crazy. That's so crazy that we don't have halfway houses all over the country that are helping the transition period and reducing, what is it, the recidivism rate or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really sad. So it's a, you know, our government is so psychopathic. You mentioned how they're going to, they want, Ukraine wants the government to send something like $6 billion a month to help them overcome the problem they have there. And I'm like, what? That just like more insanity coming from.
It's unreal. And we, and I know that you have some people that say, well, I'm Democrat, I'm this. Yeah, at the end of the day, the sustainability, it matters if you're Democrat or Republican. You look at the sustainability of that. And America can't just keep pumping that out. That's all I'm saying. I don't want anybody to be mad at me. I'm just saying they can't do that or continue
that path.
Well,
and that's why we have to divorce ourselves from this government and look to the communities to solve these problems, because this government is psychopathic, warmongering, and just insane, in my opinion, in what they're doing. Their priorities are just not about the helping the people of the United States as much as they are, you know, being a global grandfather or money bank or something. So, yeah, we can't just depend on the government,
you know.
Right.
We have to find innovative ways. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what you're right. We have to work within the communities that these people live in where there's the problem and get people involved in the community. That's just got to be the solution. Not looking for the government to hand out anything. The government is broke. B-R-O-A-K, we are broke. So why we keep going into more debt to solve problems is ridiculous. But there are plenty of wealthy people in cities and neighborhoods that can provide the solutions and the meetings and the whatever that's needed in the community. It ought to be the community's responsibility to solve these problems, not the government.
And it should be the church, right? You know, the church,
absolutely.
You know, being able to talk to people, you know, being able to understand and comprehend, you know, Pastor Don Jr., CEO, right? He is a pastor, right? And so at the end of the day, you have others and people who believe that, you know, it can't just be on the back of the government, churches and others, and including the secular community. Hello, anybody that has the will and the ability to reach out to help people, not only help them, but teach them, right? How to solve these problems and also teach people how to keep their homes. That's the fifth reason that we end up with homelessness, because we do have a system where we got to teach people to pay the taxes on their properties. You have to teach people about eminent domain and other things like that to help curve that back some so that you can keep your house and things like that. But also learn that if you go through the government, right, and you get a property through the government, a lot of times that is protected through certain statuses. So at the end of the day, you have to learn to teach these things so that people will never go back to the streets. Because I told someone, I said, if I know these things, I'm not going back, you know, because I know right. that the right things to teach people will help them. Go ahead.
Well, that's why L.A. and I are partnering to help people learn how to build tiny houses, live in tiny houses, look at tiny houses, and look for land and other areas other than urban areas to as an alternative lifestyle. Because, as you said, people are losing their homes, and that's how they end up on the street. Well, if you know how to build a house, you'll never be homeless. If you know how to find land outside the city somewhere with other people, you know, it has to be a community effort to come together and solve problems these days. And we can come together and buy land together and then build houses together. You'll never be homeless. So we got to change our mindset that we need a big house with a big pool and all that garbage and taxes
and
all that.
Some people like that. If you can afford it, then by all means, you know, look, I told someone who was telling me, a guy, I was talking to him, he lives here in Texas, and he kind of lives off the grid and whatnot. And I told him, I said, you know, I like modern air conditioning, you know, because he had the way it was set up. It had this window unit and this one room is, you know, sort of hot and that kind of stuff. And I'm the kind of person, I'm in Texas, and I want all the modern stuff because I used to sleep on the street. I don't want to have one foot over the fence and one foot. And that's how, you know, I would feel if I lived, you know, in some way like that, because I want stuff up to code. And like I told someone earlier, how do you keep these buildings and this stuff resilient against tornadoes? How do you, you know, build a basement into the ground if there's a tornado? What do you do? You know, and so the guy said, I don't know. I said, so what is your plan? He said, well, I just get in my car and I just go. I said, good luck with that, bro. I said, that is your plan in Texas to get in your car, right, when there's a tornado. And he said, I'm just going to get in my car and go.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, you know,
so what is the plan to keep those trucks safe?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why L.A. and I are going to talk about location, location, location.
Okay.
When you start thinking being a minimalist and changing your lifestyle. You're right, sister. Everybody doesn't want to live in a shed. I'm in a renovated shed right now, 320 square feet. My son's house is right next to in the same yard. He got plenty of air conditioning. In fact, his house is too cold for me. I don't have air conditioning where I am. I have a nice ceiling fan, and I have nice insulation in the ceiling. So I'm very comfortable without air in Florida. It's not as hot as it could be.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. In Texas, girl, you'll be – I mean, seriously, people have died out here sitting in their houses, like, because the humidity, it presses down on your lungs, and that's what I tell people. The heat out here in Texas, you cannot play. I'm going to tell
right.
you, you can die.
Yeah.
Well, Viata,
right.
in your first tiny house, you had a split unit in that one, though.
Yeah, I did. I had a split unit. I never used the air, hardly ever. I turned the air on when I left because it got too cold in there. The unit was so strong, and it was only 160 square feet, and this unit could have probably cooled off 400 square feet. So I would never turn that on at night. I would turn it on, and I'd leave. When I would go out and it was 90 degrees in Florida, I'd turn it on so it would be nice and cool when I came back, but it was way too cold for me to keep it on in 160
keep
square feet.
Keep it on running,
So everybody needs to assess, and that's what LA and I are going to help them do in our first YouTube channel, help them assess what location are you in, whether it's Texas, Florida, New York, that you can establish a new minimalist lifestyle in a smaller house. You need to say, is there tornadoes every other month or something? You may not want a tiny house in that area. But you got to look at that. You got to consider before you make that lifestyle change. Location.
I like Ashton's, I like her story of the tree house. I like that.
Yeah, how about that? Now, trees don't – normally tornadoes don't be uprooting trees. We had some here in Florida one. We had a hurricane that uprooted some trees here, but that was like once in like 20 years that happened. So your faith, that brother who said he'll get in his car and drive off, You got to have that kind of faith if you're going to choose that lifestyle. Well, I'm not going to worry
I'm telling you, I can't, you know, when I see straight line wind slam a 100 and a dude walking down here, he was 200-something pounds. He said he was 250, and he rounded this building, and the wind just took his butt, poof. And so I've always, and I'm a kind of person, I look at structure. I'm probably different than most, you know, women, because most women, they think about stuff pretty and all that. I told this one person, I said, hey, man, I told this lady, I said, hey, that's great and all. It looks good. But I said, what's the structure, right? Meaning if I have this to structure, I'm going to have a greater chance of withstanding 120-mile-an-hour wind.
You know what I mean?
And so I'm a kind of person that stuff has to be up to code. And you can go to your city and go get – they have books and stuff that talk about what the code should be. And if the place isn't up to code, I don't stay there. And so the way you protect your rights as a renter, I want everybody to look up the Dallas Tenants Union. Dallas Tenants Union. And they help you. You can pay a fee. If you're on a fixed income, you'll let them know, give them a call. They'll get you the paperwork for that. And this agency, it helps you protect your rights as a renter. It helps you understand laws, rules, and regulations, right? Because everyone can't go buy a house or what have you, but if you rent one from people, I don't care if it's a house or apartment, you have the right to know your rights. So look up the Dallas Tenants Union today, and you can go find out your rights as a renter and be protected against a lot of stuff, including tornadoes and things like that, because they teach you some of the most basic of the basic, meaning what insurance you should get and why and all of that. So it's very important that people also understand those things.
And I see it's almost time for L.A. to go, but sister, I just want to say, Viara, I got a question to ask you before you leave. Hold on, Viara.
Before you leave, how many millionaires are you wearing?
How many millionaires am I wearing?
Yeah.
One.
The one? If you don't mind me asking, what are you wearing?
Me. I'm a millionaire. I'm my whole temple.
I'm talking about your clothes.
Oh, my clothes?
Your clothes. That's what I'm talking about.
See, I'm at a point, I'm 67 years old. I don't care about style and money and my clothes. I go to thrift stores and look for color. I understand that. I know that you didn't pay millions for it.
I'm just asking you, how many millionaires are you wearing? In other words, the sweatpants I'm wearing, I got them from Walmart. That's a billion-dollar company. So that I've got at least three billionaires. The glasses that I got on my head, I paid $1 for them at Dollar General. I go in there and buy two, three, four, five pair because, you know, they break and all that. But Dollar General is a $1 billion company. So I've got at least three. I'm wearing at least three billionaires right now. That's what I mean by that statement.
Well, the company that I'm wearing is I'm wearing leotards and like yoga outfit right now. And these clothes were made in, I think it was Chile or somewhere. They're not polyester. I don't do polyester, so I have to be careful. That's the one thing I look for when I'm shopping. No polyester, because it doesn't help. My skin can't breathe in polyester. So that's the only particular thing I do is what is the material and how comfortable it is. I don't give a hoot about who made it, but it has to be comfortable. I don't wear bras at this stage, and it has to be comfortable. So what I'm wearing now is probably $1,000, it's that much, because the company, it's not no company brands on here. They're all thrift. In fact, I think I got these stretch pants. These are online somewhere.
Well, there's millionaires and billionaires in that thrift store, too.
Yeah,
right.
So I don't count up the dollars when I put my clothes on. I just look for comfort and color. I'm a CNC dresser, comfort and color. That's it. So I'm not counting up the money. Because that clothes wear out, just like cars. You don't invest a lot of money in cars. They deteriorate. They depreciate as soon as you take them off the lot. So I will never buy a new car again. I'll just buy a good used car and maintain it. And clothes are the same way, if you ask me. They're all going to depreciate, and so I just try and keep them clean and neat. And then when they're done, I go to a thrift store and look for some new thing that somebody gave away that they, the tag was still on. You know what I mean? People take clothes to the thrift store that the tag is still on. They never even wore it, and they're nice clothes, too. Nice clothes. So that's my shopping. That's my lifestyle.
Okay. 602, Pastor Don, I believe. Pastor Don, your mic is open.
Good morning. Good evening. I don't know where you're in this actual podcast.
It's afternoon where we're at now.
Can you hear me? Mic check.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I don't know where you're at right now, but I'm just elated. Thank you, L.A., for the double dose. This was a great show. I heard it all. I've been promoting it. One thing I want to bring out that's very important is we have to help other people because we don't know when we're going to need help. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out to me directly. 602-332-8882. If you want to get involved with Ashton and everything she's doing, she got a lot of energy, focus, and drive. But we need other hands involved. Many hands make light work. And here, y'all talk about building tiny houses. Y'all talk about changing the homeless narrative. Everybody needs help somewhere. I'm saying today is a very special day. It's a Tuesday. It's a tasteful Tuesday. Be tasteful and help somebody. It's not hard. All you got to do is just reach out and help. And I'm so thankful, L.A., that you actually opened her up to your audience because, that man, the interview was great. I'm really excited. I text thousands of people. I send emails, but not everybody got the message. But somebody's going to catch it, and somebody's going to help. All I'm asking y'all is get behind Ashton and what she's doing. I got her with some major players. We had a lot of conference calls yesterday. We're not playing, y'all. It's going to be all over CNN News. You're like, I heard it first on It's My House Radio. So I just want to thank you, L.A. I want to thank the young lady that called in. I want to thank my people, my lifestyle. It's so many people I want to thank, but at the same instance, please help the situation because we can't make it without you. We can't get in
right.
And win. We are the winning team, but we got to help IMVP.
Right. Now, in wrapping up, thank you, Pastor Don. In wrapping up, Ashton, give out the book, your book, where we can get your book, and give out your Cash App.
Yes, sir. You can get my book. My book is called Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream. You can get that book at Walmart and Amazon. You can capture that book, and you guys will be able to see that there. You can also get the Cash App Golden Ashton. You guys will be able to see that. You can also reach out to PastorDonJrCEO.com. PastorDonJrCEO.com. That is the website for that. But yes, Cash Out Me Golden Ashton. Again, get that book, Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream. You folks can also find me on YouTube, also on Facebook and social media. Type in Golden Ashton, and you'll be able to see that also come up on my Facebook page, and TikTok also the same, folks. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be here, sir. I'm thankful to you and others for allowing me to be here and be a part of stuff like this and things like this to tell my story in an articulate manner.
Well, man,
I
you got a terrific story to tell, and it's very motivating. I mean, you got the biggest asset that you have, in my opinion, is your attitude. I mean, it's like nothing can stop you.
Nothing can stop you. You're all the way up. Okay, you know what I mean? So so that is how I, you know, try to live my life. And when you're on the, you know, radio, you try to certainly, you know, talk appropriately, and I do. And you know, I always say this disclaimer, and I do. I always say that my opinions are my opinions. These opinions are not those of the Special Olympics or its athletes or its contributors. The opinions that I say today are my opinions only and my thoughts only. At the end of the day, it shall be so. You have the right to free speech in the United States. At the end of the day, man,
are
I'm grateful
on,
every day.
Are you on Facebook in the swimming pool? Is that you?
Yeah, I'm on. Yep. Yes. Yes.
There's a picture of you in the swimming pool.
Yeah, that. Yep, that's me. Yep, that.
And
that's
there's a
me.
Picture of her on. I got a picture of
yes,
her on Blog Talk today too, in the scrolling of marquee, as well as yesterday's. Mm-hmm. So it's some pictures of it.
All right.
Well, we're going to have to have you
love
back,
you.
Ashton, just
thank
on the treehouse thing. I'm fascinated what you did with the treehouse. Because basically
well, I mean,
you sourced.
You just make it in life, and that I had to do that. I didn't, you know, in Dallas, Fort Worth, I didn't want to sleep on the ground. There was no way. I mean, you know, because I saw somebody get stepped on, you know, one dude threw a bag on a person. You know, it's just people being mean, and you don't want to be on the ground. Like when I'm at the bus stop, I don't ever have my back facing, you know, stuff. My back is always up against the walls and stuff because I told the dude, you're going to have to come through this wall to get me. I said, brother, I don't turn my back to you. He said, what you mean? I said, no, and I put myself up against the wall. Because, and I tell all people this, well, I don't care if you're a woman or a man, a wall can save your life. I was out here in Fort Worth, and some people, they were running, and a crowd of people came. I put my butt up against the wall and pressed my back as hard as I could into this building, and it kept me from being crushed to death, right? The wall can save your life. And in life, you want to make sure you got that wall to stop people from exploiting you, right? So people may laugh at that analogy, but it's true. Put your butt up against the wall if there's a stampede, right? And it'll keep you from being crushed to death, right? The things
all
that I
right.
tell people, they work. Amen. So God bless y'all, man. I'm glad I was here today, and I love you. Y'all be safe.
Okay, everyone have a good.
Did you say you had a YouTube? Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do. You can look that up, Golden Ashton, and you'll see the title of my book when you click on my YouTube.
Okay.
Golden
sister.
Ashton.
You, thank you. Thank you, sister.
Okay. All right. Everyone
thank
have a
too,
good rest
now.
Of the day. Thank you, man.
You too. Y'all be good.